In today's news headlines, news has emerged that the U.S. Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation into the origins of the special counsel's investigation in the 2016 election. What began as an administrative review overseen by Attorney General William Barr has now been switched to a criminal probe, suggesting that Mr. Barr may be trying to deliver a political victory for President Donald Trump. For months, Trump has railed against the investigation that was led by Robert Mueller, claiming it was illegal. The New York Times explained that, quote, Mr. Trump has made clear that he sees the typically independent Justice Department as a tool to be wielded against his political enemies. Some are speculating that the Democrats leading an impeachment inquiry against Trump through House committees are taking the place of the investigation that the Justice Department should have been conducting. Meanwhile, more details are emerging from the closed-door deposition by Pentagon official Laura Cooper earlier this week to House committees. The Trump administration apparently sent her lawyer a letter the day before she was scheduled to appear at the hearing, claiming there was, quote, an absence of authority for the committees to conduct an impeachment inquiry, and adding that Ms. Cooper, quote, cannot participate in the impeachment inquiry under these circumstances. Cooper defied Trump's order and shared the letter with the committees. In other news related to the impeachment, Stephen Fruman, the brother of Igor Fruman, an associate of Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, has been subpoenaed. Igor Fruman and another man named Lev Parnas were arrested some weeks ago as they were attempting to leave the country. Now, federal prosecutors in New York are interested in documents from Fruman's brother Stephen. Prosecutors have been digging through evidence, even blowing doors off of a safe, as per CNN. Republicans, some of whom blocked Cooper's testimony to House committees on Wednesday for 5 hours, are claiming that the impeachment process is improper because the inquiry is being conducted in secret. But on Thursday, Fox News' judicial analyst Andrew Napolitano reminded conservatives who created the rules that House committees are now operating under.
What I did for you, Kilmeade, I read the House rules.
Okay.
And as frustrating as it may be to have these hearings going on behind closed doors, the hearings over which Congressman Schiff is presiding, they are consistent with the rules.
They can make any of the rules they want.
Well, they can't change the rules. They follow the rules. And when were the rules written? Last, in January of 2015. And who signed them? John Boehner. And who enacted them? A Republican majority. So
what do the rules say?
The rules say that this level of inquiry, this initial level of inquiry, can be done in secret.
That's Fox News judicial analyst Andrew Napolitano explaining to conservative audiences that the rules by which Democrats are conducting their impeachment inquiry were in fact enacted by Republicans. Democratic House Representative Nydia Velazquez from New York this week has introduced historic legislation called the Climate Displaced Persons Act. In a statement, the Congresswoman said, quote, if we're going to meaningfully discuss comprehensive climate equity and climate justice, we must inject security assistance and resettlement opportunities for climate displaced persons into our conversations. The bill would, quote, create a humanitarian program separate from the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. The new program would admit a minimum of 50,000 climate-displaced persons, beginning with fiscal year 2020, allowing CDPs to access resettlement opportunities. And Senator Chuck Schumer published an op-ed in the New York Times on Friday laying out an ambitious proposal for transitioning to zero-emission vehicles across the country by the year 2040. Schumer says his plan is backed by unions and would, quote, create tens of thousands of new good-paying jobs. In other climate-related news, California's fires continue to grow under the unusually hot, dry, and windy conditions this season. In addition to the massive Kincade Fire in Sonoma County in Northern California, the so-called Tick Fire in Santa Clarita, Southern California, jumped a major freeway overnight and grew to thousands of acres. All LA Unified Schools in the San Fernando Valley were closed on Friday in response. A new poll on oil drilling in the U.S. by the Washington Post and the Kaiser Family Foundation has found that a large majority of Americans oppose drilling for oil and gas on public lands. More than 80% of respondents want drilling to decrease or remain constant. According to the Washington Post, just over half, 51%, said energy exploration should be reduced on federal lands, and 53% said it should be reduced offshore. Another 32% said it should stay as is on both federal lands and waters. The poll was released just 2 days after President Trump boasted about his pro-energy agenda at a fracking conference in Pittsburgh and how his administration has promoted and expanded drilling on public lands. And the ACLU is celebrating the decision by the state of South Dakota to back down from its efforts to silence oil pipeline protesters. The state passed several laws in response to mass indigenous-led protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline. And after the ACLU sued, it agreed not to enforce the laws prohibiting protesters. The ACLU also announced in an entirely different issue that the Trump administration had separated many more immigrant children from their parents than previously known. 1,556 children, most of them under the age of 12, were taken from their parents between July 2017 and June 2018. New footage has emerged in the police shooting of an unarmed teenager named Isaiah Marietta Golding in Fresno, California. The disturbing surveillance camera footage shows police firing at the 16-year-old boy through a fence as he was running away. The Fresno Police Department and the police auditor had declared the shooting justified. Now the release of the footage undermines their claim. A federal judge has just fined Education Secretary Betsy DeVos $100,000 for a contempt of court case after DeVos was found to continue collecting loan repayments from students at the now defunct for-profit Corinthian Colleges. The fine will be used to compensate about 16,000 people who were affected. In news from Democratic primary hopefuls, frontrunner Joe Biden has decided to reverse his pledge to refuse big money from super PACs. The New York Times explained that the move was, quote, an implicit acknowledgement of his weakened position in the contest. He entered October with only $9 million in the bank, a fraction of his leading rivals. Another candidate, Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard, has announced she will not seek re-election to Congress so that she can focus on her presidential bid. And Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders this week released a detailed plan for how he would legalize marijuana at the federal level if he became president. He posted details of his plan on Thursday at precisely 4:20 p.m. Finally, in international news, the Trump administration is considering a plan to add more troops to Syria to protect oil fields just weeks after ordering the withdrawal of troops from northern Syria under the guise of stopping the U.S.'s endless wars. In a tweet, Trump said, quote, the oil fields discussed in my speech on Turkey and the Kurds yesterday were held by ISIS until the United States took them over with the help of the Kurds. He added separately, perhaps it's time for the Kurds to start heading to the oil region, even though his actions severely betrayed Kurdish fighters who were allied with the U.S. And Turkish President Erdogan, on whose behalf Trump appears to have withdrawn from northern Syria, is now demanding that the U.S. turn over for extradition General Mazlum Abdi, the Kurdish leader of the Syrian Democratic Forces. And that does it for our news headlines today.